Namaste. Hello and welcome to a Natural Rhythms podcast, A Culture of Well-Being. My name is Dr. Anup Mulapaluri, and today's subject is the heart and wellness. The heart is the central ticker of the human body. It is the most essential organ that allows us to inhabit the human body and live on. Without it, we are no longer. So, for this reason, this organ has received a lot of attention and press and research dollars over the years. However, if we look at the CDC numbers, the frequency of heart disease and adverse outcomes has only gone up in these past 40, 50 years. One of the most influential studies in heart health has been the Framingham studies. These studies made cholesterol the enemy. And since then, we have been chasing and fighting this enemy without much success in our capacity to care for people's heart and wellness. Could it be possible that we're fighting against the wrong enemy? In this podcast, we will address this discrepancy between the advances in treatment and the increased incidence of heart disease, and how Ayurveda and the idea of wellness can help us to prevent this epidemic from continuing in the United States and around the world. The physical function of the heart was always thought to be just pumping blood through all of our blood vessels. This function is meant to ensure that every cell of the body gets oxygen and nutrition, as well as provides the opportunity for us to get rid of waste and toxins from the cellular environment. In recent years, there have been more studies on heart rate variability and various functions of the heart and its correlation and biofeedback loop with the nervous system. These tell us that heart has a big role to play in our overall well-being, in our emotional health, as well as our spiritual. It has some spiritual functions that can be beneficial too. It is difficult to measure the spiritual and emotional functions of the heart with our instruments. However, we can recognize the importance of the heart in our cultural and the human experience by just examining our language. The root for the word courage is derived from the Latin word for the heart, which is cor. This etymology of the word courage tells us that it is more associated with strength of heart or an abundance of heart. In our culture, we see the use of the phrases like, he has got heart, she has got her, they have got heart. Or we may hear, it takes heart to do something great. This is describing the courageous quality of achieving something extraordinary, beyond the realms of possibility that can be achieved with someone with a strong heart. The heart is often recognized as a central part of our experience of love, generosity, compassion, and sympathy. And we use our language around heart relating to these experiences. As part of our human experience, we may have known the blessing of living in someone's heart, the generosity of someone's kind heart, the healing power of a compassionate heart, or the ease of living with an open heart. All of these experiences speak about the emotional and spiritual mysteries of the heart. This language represents the mythical ways in which our ancestors viewed the heart and understood the powers of the heart in our lives. Of course, here we are talking about the energetic and consciousness phenomenon related to the heart, which is an individual experience, and most of us have experienced some aspect of it. We just haven't correlated that to the physical existence of the heart. So let us discuss more deeply about the functions of the heart. Ayurveda describes the physical, energetic, and spiritual functions of the heart. At the physical level, we find a perspective that is very congruent with the modern understanding of the cardiovascular system. The heart and the blood vessels are the conduction system for blood, plasma, nutrition, and oxygen to all the parts of the body. The blood also carries messenger molecules like hormones, immune activity, or inflammatory cytokines to all parts of the body as needed. Getting nourishment to every part of the body, as well as organizing and synchronizing the body's function, is an essential activity that is conducted through the heart and the cardiovascular system. The heart chakra sits at the center of the seven chakras. Thus, it is the center of our being. This energetic and metaphoric aspect of the heart correlates in the spiritual sense as the seat of the self or the seat of the soul. In Sanskrit, the heart chakra is called the Anahat chakra. It holds the emotional functions of love, confidence, trust, as well as deep connection and compassion for other people, animals, and environments. The opening of the heart chakra leads to various realizations around the oneness of existence and the unconditional love that is available to our beings. This opening arises when we have mastered the lower states of consciousness relating to the root, the Swadhisthana, and the Manipur chakra, which is the first, second, and third chakra below the heart. When the heart is out of balance, individual experiences vulnerability, loss of confidence, anxiety, emotional distress, and dependency. To cure these ailments on a spiritual perspective, self-love and unconditional love are cultivated as the highest form and function of the heart chakra. In Ayurveda, we learn that the heart is an integral part of the function of the mind and mental activity, especially the inward and outward effect of emotions. Studies in the HeartMath Research Institute have demonstrated that communication between the heart and brain is actually a dynamic and ongoing two-way dialogue, with each organ continuously influencing the other organ's function. Research has shown that heart communicates to the brain in four different ways. One is neurological, through the transmission of nerve impulses. Other is biochemical, through hormones and neurotransmitters. Another is biophysical, through the pressure waves generated by the heart beating. And energetically, which is the electromagnetic field that is emanated by the heart. This is the most fascinating part to me. The heart has its own nervous system that functions independently of the cranial brain to learn, to remember, to make decisions, and even to feel and sense. The heart produces stimulating neurotransmitters like acetylcholine and dopamine, adrenaline hormone like epinephrine and norepinephrine, and also hormones like oxytocin that support the function of emotional connection and bonding in humans. Oxytocin influences the brain activity that is involved in tolerance, trust, friendship, and establishment of enduring bonds with others, especially pair bonding, which is related to having a partner or a lover. These are affirmations of what we have always known: the emotional and spiritual functions of the heart. The capacity of the heart to help us to connect very deeply with another individual or our community or our creator or any other way that we want to connect with, say, nature or our animal and pets, even to stones. So, the heart has this unique capacity to generate its own feelings and emotions and extend that, relay that to the brain so we can perceive love, so we can perceive connection, bonding, and belonging. This is a very powerful thing that our modern science and our modern medicine has ignored. Furthermore, the HeartMath studies have pointed out that the emotional experiences have a direct effect on the heart rate variability, where incoherence of the heart rhythm is caused by negative emotions, fear, anger, as well as emotional and physical stress and trauma. The heart rate variability and incoherence of the heart rhythm is a very important thing to consider, because essentially you can think the difference is the stiffness and the softness of the heart muscle and the cardiovascular system. The more incoherent the heart rhythm is, the more stiff and rigid the heart walls and heart blood vessels are. And therefore, they are more vata aggravated and therefore become more dysregulated and disoriented and result in injury to the cardiovascular system. Now we know that emotions like fear, anger, and emotional, physical stress and trauma, all of these affect the heart and cardiovascular system by making it stiff. Furthermore, positive emotions like love, connection, compassion, emotional maturity and resilience all cause to increase the coherence of the heart rhythm. In other words, to soften and make the heart more flexible, increase the kapha quality of the heart, and therefore make it more robust and resilient to any injuries from difficult and negative experiences. An exposure to a stressful situation can bring up memories of past or of subconscious fears that can convert into physiological reaction of the mind and the adrenal system. This reaction is mediated by the variation of the heart rhythm and hormones produced by the heart. Along with this central and profound autonomic and automatic activity of the heart, the body has also evolved powerful ways of achieving control and coherence of the cardiovascular system and nervous system. Central to this self-control and self-regulation is the activity of the breath and the feedback it provides to the heart and the nervous system. We will take a closer look at breath and how to use breath for our benefit in a future discussion. You must be wondering why we're talking about emotions and positive and negative feelings in the consideration of heart disease. I promise you, we will get to that discussion. For today, I just want to bring into focus why it is important to talk about heart disease as a community in our society. You see, heart disease represents several different conditions that correlated to the diseases of the heart and blood vessels. Among these, some of the most common types are coronary heart disease, which is the blockage of the coronary arteries that supply to the heart, followed by stroke, and then heart failure, which is the weakness of the heart muscle resulting in the failure to function effectively. High blood pressure, as well as various diseases of the arteries and venous system. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. It accounts for over 600,000 deaths per year. That is one in four deaths every year. Every year, 700,000 people are suffering from a heart attack. Out of these, 515,000, almost over a half a million, are having a heart attack for the first time each year. Billions of dollars worth of statins are prescribed to lower cholesterol, and still there is little impact or no impact on the heart disease epidemic in the United States. This is true also in my own country of India. It is true that statins lower your cholesterol, no doubt about it. They work well in doing that. However, there is little proof that they're actually preventing heart disease. Here, I will refer to three studies that compare use of statin with reduction in heart disease. First is the PROSPER study. 5,804 people were given statins. All of the people benefited in lowering the cholesterol, but there was little benefit to reduction in total heart attacks and total strokes in the primary prevention group. Same is true with this ALLHATS study. 10,355 people were given statins. No reduction in total heart attacks or strokes, and it did not reduce the rate of death in patients despite having an effective statin. Another study is ASCOT LLA study. This is 10,300 people. Statin did not reduce total heart attacks or strokes compared to placebo. These studies make a point for us to consider. Yes, statins reduce our cholesterol and the numbers get better. Clearly, this should result in reduction of heart disease related issues and deaths. But we're not seeing any significant evidence of that happening in all of these three studies. Now, looking at a review of all major studies related to statins, now we take 65,000 people. This is 11 randomized controlled trials, which is the highest standard of studies. Statins did not reduce the death compared to placebo. 65,000 people studied, right? Now, there is no relationship between reduction of LDL cholesterol, which is the so-called bad cholesterol, and the rate of death among patients. What are we doing? By targeting cholesterol, being scared of bad cholesterol, chasing after good cholesterol, what are we doing? Fat is not our enemy. Cholesterol is not the enemy. Enemy is the inflammation. Inflammation is what oxidizes fat and converts it into plaque. Plaque blocks blood vessels. Blocked blood vessels become narrower and they prevent oxygen and nutrition from reaching various tissues. So they reduce efficiency of various organs and lead to a process of aging. Furthermore, if a plaque becomes big enough, it becomes unstable. This plaque can then break and block a blood vessel, resulting in a heart attack or a stroke. So it's the correlation between cholesterol elevation and inflammation, or just inflammation, regardless of what cholesterol is what is more likely the cause of adverse outcome. Why aren't we targeting this inflammation? Why are we going after the wrong enemy? This is something that is clearly comes through in some frustration in my voice, but it's something we have not considered enough. And now I do see some discussions about this. Definitely in the naturopathic community, these discussions have been there for a long time. And hopefully we can all as a community start to consider this as the main cause and consider how we can reduce inflammation and reduce this this physical cause of heart disease and adverse events from our life. All of this we will be discussing in the upcoming part, which will be a solutions-based discussion, and we can get out of this worrying aspect of like how many people are being affected and dying from heart disease. For now, what I'd like to leave you with is a meditation. So you can go into that positive emotional state, which has such a positive benefit to your heart rate variability, the flexibility of the heart muscle, and the dynamism of the heart that gives the positive benefit to your nervous system. To do this, close your eyes, become still, sit, stand, or lie down, keeping your spine straight. Take a deep breath into your abdomen, inhaling, making your mind present, exhaling, releasing the tension. Breathing in, deep breath, exhaling, releasing the tension. Continue breathing like this for a few breaths. Lengthening your inhalation, relaxing in your exhalation. As you continue breathing, bring your attention to your heart. To help to create more connection and intimacy, place your right hand on your heart and the left hand on your abdomen. And slowly take a deep breath. Hold for a moment and exhale. Continue breathing in this way, slow, deep inhalation. Hold for a moment. And then exhale. Inhalation, pause, exhalation. With your intention, release the tension that you feel in the area of the heart, in the upper abdomen. Let that tension melt, dissipate downward. With each exhalation, the tension dissipating downward. A few more breaths like this. Inhaling, pause, exhaling as the tension around the heart and the abdomen and the body dissipate downward towards your feet and into the earth. Thank you. You can continue like this for some time. And to finish this meditation, bring your palms together in a namaste. Your palms together in the prayer mudra. And internally, you can give thanks for your heart, for your body, for allowing you to go on existing from one breath to another, living your life as fully as possible, cultivating joy, and presence, and gratitude all along. Thank you. Namaste.